Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The proposals for the City of Tulsa Vision Extension, the sales tax extension of Vision 2025, are all now in. And those proposals are numerous and varied. Some are indeed visionary, others fanciful, others address perceived needs. But all told, the ideas add up to a couple of billion dollars worth of spending. So now comes the difficult task of winnowing a list of wants, needs, and desires to a coherent set of projects that voters will agree, at least in spring 2016, that they are needed. My guest today has heard presentations on all the projects as co-chair of the Vision Task Force, and today outlines her and the task force priorities in considering these funding requests. Anna America is the co-chair of the Vision Task Force and City Councilor for District 7. She joins us to speak about the process of the Vision Tax Extension as it takes shape and eventually becomes a ballot initiative. Councilor Anna America is my guest today. Anna America, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for asking me. Happy to be here.
This has been a busy summer for your task force looking at Vision Extension and also for the City Council in general as you've been hearing proposals throughout the summer. Before we talk about the process going forward, as the proposals are now at an end, what was your assessment of all the proposals you saw? I mean, there were a lot of detailed plans, detailed architectural renderings going into some of these proposals. What was your assessment?
I was really impressed. We had over 130 different proposals. Most of those were people who came and spoke in front of the City Council, but we also had people who submitted really some detailed proposals online as well through email and delivered some things in person. And as you say, I mean, they ranged from some pretty small neighborhood improvements, but even those folks had, I think, some, you know, had gotten some real good cost analysis and things like that, up to some pretty grand plans. And some of the things that are the usual suspects, I think what you might expect, Gilcrease and the PAC and the Convention Center and the zoo, but all kinds of neat new ideas, many of which, you know, were not on any of our radar. So things we didn't expect to hear from. So it was very encouraging to me to see such a wide range of Tulsans step up and say, you know, I've got an idea for the city's future, and they were willing to, you know, stand there and tell us about it.
What struck you in the idea of, along the ideas of totally out of the blue, some of the ideas that really caught your eye or ear that you had never even thought about?
One, the Art Deco Museum was not something that I was expecting. One of the things I really liked were a couple of the what might have been a more typical proposal, but they, I thought, approached a little bit more innovation. And I'll use as an example TCC, which was doing a pretty basic, I mean, they needed an expansion on their Southeast campus to better serve students, but they also thought, how could they incorporate they've got some great green space out there, and how could they incorporate the community and engage the community? So they included in that proposal expanding their park green space, tying into local trails to make that a resource for the community and the neighborhood. And we had a couple of proposals that did things like that, where they had a function, but they also thought, how can we make this a better neighbor to the community around it? I really liked that, and I hadn't seen that much in the past, so I thought that was kind of a new trend. We had some private people who came and talked about a lot of ideas based around the river and river development, a couple people who talked about amusement parks that actually had some pretty fun ideas there and brought up, I think, some different areas for development. One talked about Noonblock Park area just west of downtown. Mm-hmm. And I think a number of us afterward, the counselors were saying, you know, he had some really good points. This exact proposal may not work, but he had some really good points about the potential for that area and maybe looking at that as a future development area. I mean, there were little ideas that had great merit and big ideas that had great merit, and they may not be finalized exactly how presented, but I think there are pieces of a whole lot of proposals that you'll end up seeing in the future in other work that we do.
Now, there were some proposals that might seem like it's a better proposal for private investment rather than city and government investment. Did you see that as well?
Yeah, I think there were a couple, and I'm not going to necessarily call out specific ones, but there were a couple of people who brought forth what I would consider more of a business proposal. In those cases, the counselors in those areas, I know in a couple of instances, went and talked to them afterward and helped direct them to some resources that might help get a business started there. Because that's obviously a great thing for the community, but that's not our intent with this package, to get a private business going just for the sake of that private business.
But in the end, you had probably proposals that amounted to couple billion dollars
yeah,
worth
had,
of
it. Just on the vision proposals, we've had over $2.5 billion in requests. And just as a reminder, and I know you know this, but this final package, the economic development, quality of life, whatever you want to call these proposals that we've been listening to, that'll be one of the three legs, let me say. It may not be divided evenly, but this package will also include the river. So, and that's obviously there's been meetings going on for almost 2 years on that and a lot of input from the citizens as well. And so that piece is still being defined. And then now it looks like, and I think there's pretty much consensus, although there are a lot of details to work out, but public safety will be one of the pieces. So we'll be working out all three of those elements will be included on the vision package that'll come to voters in April. But when you look at right now, the requests for all of those, it's $3.2 billion.
And how much will this tax expect to raise over the course of the sales tax?
Great question. It's a 0.6 sales tax, and all the communities, initially this was a countywide tax. It will continue to be countywide, but what the communities agreed to do this time was
Separate the request by community.
Each town, right. Each city, each town will vote on its own. In each town, including Tulsa, we have what we all agreed on is 0.55 of that 0.6. So 0.55 will go to the individual community, and then 0.05 will go to the county. So in Tulsa, for example, we'll vote on both of those pieces. We'll be voting on a 0.05 that will go toward county projects. So, for example, things at the fairgrounds that benefits the entire county, or there's some county road projects and some other things they need to do.
Levy districts have also been coming up as well. Yeah.
And then the bulk of that 0.55. One thing that has not been decided yet is how many years. This past vision project, Vision 2025, that package was a 14-year package. So just using, is for sake of comparison, 15 years. If we do this as a 15-year package, it will generate about $732 million, the 0.55 in Tulsa. So right, we'll have $732 million available. And as I said, we've got $3.2 million in requests.
Billion, yeah.
Yeah, billion dollars in requests. So
this
the really heavy lifting
yeah.
Yeah, starts now.
Right. Well, let's talk about those three legs. The quality of life has gotten all the publicity, but the river has had a set of public meetings.
Yes.
They're kind of going back to reassess after that public meeting. Do we have any sense of what a river proposal's likely to cost?
I think the next week or we don't have a meeting next week, but the week after that,
I know
think
that's
we'll
a
get
G.T. Bynum question.
Yes, Councillor G.T. Bynum has been chairing that and has been worked hard. I mean, I've been to most of those meetings as well, and most of the town halls. And where that task force, which was a pretty vast group of people from around the county, initially they were thinking of four dam proposals. So when we went out with the town halls at the beginning of summer, they were looking at two dams in Tulsa, and that's basically redoing the rebuilding and enhancing the Zinc Dam, and then adding a dam at South Tulsa, Jenks, and then also a dam in Bixby and a dam in Sand Springs. What we heard pretty strongly in the Tulsa town halls is that Tulsans felt, and I would agree personally, that the way that package was structured, Tulsans would end up subsidizing Bixby and Sand Springs. So we came back, and it wasn't an easy decision. I mean, it was hard, but decided as Tulsa councilors that we really needed to focus on Tulsa. So right now we're looking at the two dams in Tulsa. There have been a lot of engineering assessments going on, figuring out the dam essentially creates a lake. It doesn't create water between those lakes. Right. And when people talk about water in the river, a lot of people envision that we can somehow make this big flowing river within the city limits, and you just can't. There's no physical way to do that.
It'll be a series of impoundments. And frankly, environmentally, I don't think it would pass muster because we have endangered, threatened species along that riverbank that you have to create habitat for.
So what we're doing right now is kind of re-asking those exact questions with this two-dam approach. So for our last meeting, we had some water quality experts in, which is something that a lot of people have concerns about because they'll see those signs out there saying you shouldn't expose yourself to the water too much and all of this. And so like the water quality expert, one of the things that was pretty interesting is they told us that essentially we sort of voluntarily, way back when, asked for that designation, sort of this level two designation, because they didn't want to encourage people to go swimming and, you know, drink or anything else, the water. But we have always voluntarily and then required it of emitters and stuff to meet the higher level standards. So we had already started the process to move toward that level of water quality. But there are a lot of issues. There are a lot of water quality issues when you create a dam and you impound water. It changes the water. You know, water becomes stagnant. It changes it for fish. It changes it for other wildlife that live around there. There are flood control issues, not necessarily heavy flooding, but even on a regular basis, if you let too much water out at a certain time, it can create backflow into a creek, you know, that feeds right into the river. So there are a lot of issues, and we're looking at each of those again in the context of these two dams to make sure that a proposal doesn't, you know, none of us who are the counselors and the mayors and the other people who are involved on this committee, none of us are engineers or biologists, so we've got to bring in these experts to really vet these questions.
But you anticipate the river being one of the three parts of this vision extension. Let's talk about the public safety, third leg of this issue, which will tie up, I assume, beyond a 15-year period, or will it only be for a set amount of period?
I don't think it's been decided exactly how this will be. Well, I mean, I know it isn't because we'll decide, but there is not consensus, let me say. So it hasn't been decided at any level if this would be proposed as a permanent piece of this. I think it would be expected to function that way. So
if you're making promises to police and fire officers that are hired under that provision,
right? And more importantly, I think it's because we'd be making promises to the citizens. So, and I know, for example, Broken Arrow, which on their portion of this, they focused almost entirely on public safety and streets, which were they determined were their two biggest priorities this go round. And so for us, if we come out here and say that we are, we're asking Tulsans to pay X amount as part of this tax for police and fire and other public safety measures, my intent certainly is that we're making a commitment that will continue. So we may structure it. It gets a little complicated how you work things on the ballot. We may structure it so that piece is permanent, or we may structure it so it's not permanent, but with the intent that it would be renewed to maintain those forces.
Well, let me ask you, those two areas you're talking about adding, how many fire positions, how many police positions from this tax, which we normally think of it as a capital expenditures tax, you're now taking it into operating expenses.
Well, and just a little background, and I know a lot of your listeners probably know this, but we are the only state in the union where cities are required to use sales tax for almost all of the operating expenses. I mean, there are a few other. We can use revenue from utilities and things for those areas only. But police and fire and taking care of parks and code enforcement and
everything the city does.
Yeah, pothole repair, all of those basic services have to come out of sales tax revenue. And that's a incredibly limiting, incredibly frustrating process. And it forces us into making some things. It's not the ideal way to do it. A city in other communities typically would not be using a sales tax in the way that we're forced to. We don't have a choice to use it here. It's a more traditional method to sort of use property tax for, you know, certain kinds of things and sales tax for certain kinds of things. But because of state law, state constitution, we're limited here. That said, I mean, the problem has been that public safety costs have grown exponentially as the city's grown, and there just hasn't been more money in the sales tax to pay for that. So we have, a few months ago, the two ideas were, do we take part of vision and use that for public safety, or do we do a separate public safety tax increase? It would have been of, say, 0.4% or 0.2%. I mean, there are different levels. Right now, the proposal that is on the table, if you will, that is being discussed and negotiated, Mayor Bartlett and Councilor Karen Gilbert, who's kind of been our key public safety person, they came together, and what they have proposed is that we included in vision, which is, as you say, is a pretty big change. And there are a lot of people who don't like that idea. So it's not a absolutely done deal that this will be in here. There's still a lot of discussion going on. And that what they're proposing is that we would take 0.2 out of vision and that we would take 0.1 out of Improve Our Tulsa that will come up in 2021. So at that point, there'd be 0.3. That would be dedicated toward public safety. And under their proposal, I don't remember the exact number, but it would be, I think it would, it's, you add police every year, but there's a pretty high attrition rate. So say we lose around, I think it's around right now, around 32 police officers. So as you add, you also lose, but we would eventually add over 150, I think, police officers, and it would be somewhere over 100 firefighters. We would also, the other piece that the mayor and Councilor Gilbert would like to include is streets, the crews that do lights, traffic signals, street striping, some of those elements that are tied to public safety that we also have gotten way, way, way behind. and that we know have a real high impact on accidents and injuries and things like that. So,
Before we move on that, I want to ask about one other proposal that came before you, which was a proposal from Tulsa Transit. And there were several other proposals that related to transit.
Right.
And you've seen some op-eds over the last few days about including transit in this. Tulsa Transit did have a proposal which would sort of add them into this public funding or public safety funding of a sort of a permanent addition for transit. Is there any thought going into that?
I think there's been some discussion, but I will say, and I say this as the representative of Southeast Tulsa, where probably if we were to poll, transit would not poll as well as it would in some other parts of town. And I think all of us agree that a better transit system is an essential part of being a functional,
it's a part of being a bigger and growing city.
Exactly. So it's something that we need, but it's also going to be something that we have to balance because all of those proposals, if we funded everything, which obviously we won't, but if we were, they would have almost no impact in my part of town. So it's tough to ask voters in the more outlying parts of the city to say, are you willing to foot this bill for something that you may not see any benefit for, you know, may not get out to this part of town for 20 years.
Until gas spikes or doubles or triples again.
Right, right. Well, but even then, it's just we are such a geographically spread out city.
True.
It's a very, you know, much more challenging than people realize. People gripe about buses. Well, they need to run more often and they need to be, you know, more streets need to have them. But, I mean, the cost of actually covering Tulsa the way that many cities with a much higher population have a much smaller geographic area, and that's way easier to do from a transit. We had, out of that total $2.5 billion, about over $500 million, around $572 million of those proposals related to transportation. So not solely transit. We had some bike trails,
some other pedestrian trails, as well.
So, but when you look at all of those things, and some of the different proposals overlap. And so, you know, one group might have talked about bike trails and another pedestrian trails. And those may – one of the things that we'll be doing now is sort of putting these things together and say which of these might make sense together. So, you know, hopefully we'll get some consolidation just by doing that. So I definitely think there will be some money going into transit. I do think it's something that's an identified priority for the city, but not as much as – probably nobody will get as much as they wanted. But
right. My guest today is Anna America, District 7 counselor, co-chair of the Vision panel that has been looking at these ideas. And now that the proposals have all been brought in and that's come to an end, now comes the hard part of deliberations on figuring out what balance of proposals will go into a vision extension tax. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, what will be the process of sort of triage, if you will, to sort of get to a manageable package? What are the criteria that you and your fellow counselors are going to be looking at?
Well, the River Task Force is continuing on its work, and I think we'll be coming back very shortly within, you know, hopefully the next month or so with a more firm proposal there. Same with public safety. And many of the same people obviously are involved on all three or multiple task forces. On the vision side, we outlined in the beginning, the council did, sort of three main areas that we hoped to measure these projects up against. And number one was economic development and sales tax generation. As I said earlier, you know, we are dependent on sales tax. So the number one thing, and this doesn't mean every project has to do this, but we hope that we can show that a project either directly or indirectly has an impact on economic development and primarily generating sales tax. Number two, connectivity and transportation choices, as we were just talking about. So that doesn't necessarily just mean transit. That could be sidewalks. That could be trails. And it actually, in my way of thinking, it could be connectivity in other ways. If you're finding ways to engage neighborhoods more, you know, in other processes or something. So it could be connectivity, not just physically, but politically or socially or some other ways. And then third was health, education, and safety. And as I mentioned, public safety is on there. I think it was a bit of a shift for the council. We know these are priorities for our city and our citizens, but to take on health and education and say these are things that we want these projects, if possible, to address those issues as well, which is, I think, one of the reasons I mentioned earlier we had a couple of projects that brought in green space or trails as part of something that was maybe a more functional for that institution, but they said, you know, this is, we can do this and at almost no extra cost make a facility where neighbors can come over here and walk the trails or something. So that was nice to see. So we'll keep those things in mind, I think, as we begin, which begins right away. So our first screening, I think what we're going to try to do is look at all these projects and combine the things that need to be combined so we can kind of say, okay, let's look at these two together if they proposed very similar things. We had multiple people who talked about BMX bike facilities or opportunities, for example, and we'll look at those together. But then go through these projects and put them in one of three categories. Is this one that we want to continue to discuss and evaluate and figure out how feasible and if funded, how much it would be funded? Number two, is this something that has some potential and might have some really neat ideas, but just isn't ready yet to be in this package? It may be something that needs time because for, you know, something that's going on, or needs a lot more engineering work. And we're going to put those in a pile and come back to and maybe bring some of those people back to talk about other opportunities down the road or how we can incorporate those ideas. And number three will be projects that might be great ideas, might be fun ideas, but just really aren't appropriate for vision or for public funding at all. So hopefully that'll narrow our list down some. And then it's going to get tough. I mean, we all have our pet things that are important to us, as well as, you know, we all may interpret economic development and sales tax generation a little bit differently. For example, I have always been an advocate and strong advocate, and there are a couple of others on the council, but I believe education, it doesn't directly generate sales tax, but I think stronger schools helps us bring jobs here. It helps improve public safety. It helps stabilize neighborhoods, that there are some benefits. And we talked earlier about one of the, I forget how you phrase it, surprises or kind of unexpected, but one of the best things was that we saw that all the Tulsa school districts, so Tulsa, Jenks, Union, and Tulsa Tech, came together and made three distinct proposals, very well thought out, and made a strong case, I think, as to, you know, why using city dollars to invest in schools has a direct impact on what we're trying to do as a city, and particularly economic development. So, I'll probably be advocating more for some of those education things, and somebody else may think that the airport is a clear, you know, so it's going to be tough, because even if I were just sitting here doing this by myself, which as it turns out, we don't get to do, but it would be really hard for me, because there are some, you know, we've got some really great existing assets. I mean, Gilcrease and the zoo and Turkey Mountain and Inner River and things like that, that you want to continue to invest and grow. You also, we had some really great ideas, I think, for new, I mentioned the BMX, but I think that's one of the things that a lot of people were pretty intrigued by, this idea of a BMX. We have the opportunity to become the headquarters. And it's one of those, I don't do BMX. I'm not even sure what doing it entails. I don't watch it. But it could be a huge economic development draw for us. So, you look at things like that. And balancing that against, as much as a lot of people like these big, shiny projects, if there aren't things that people in all parts of town feel like, and I don't mean fixing potholes on their street, I think people know that this package won't do that, but they need to feel, rightfully so, that their quality of life is improved and that it's not just all downtown projects, which is one of the gripes we hear.
I think that's the perception of the last package. And frankly, there were a lot of proposals geared, again, towards downtown.
Well, I can tell you, I don't know how far through the process, but we were probably two-thirds of the way through the process before we had somebody. And because I remember saying to them, I think you're the first, other than a few things that would be citywide, like library and trails that were around the city, but of specific projects, the first one that came that was something east of Peoria. No, I don't mean anywhere east. And the first one that came, I think TCC was the first one that was southeast of 21st in Peoria. Up to that point, and after that point, almost every proposal we heard that wasn't a kind of generic citywide one was, in downtown North Tulsa or along the river, west or east of the river. So, and frankly, I mean, while I believe and support some of those projects and think they're important for the city as a whole, I won't support a package that doesn't include some things that people in my neighborhood, in my district, or in East Tulsa or in North Tulsa, or in West Tulsa can feel like, yeah, we our quality of life is better because of what we're investing in this community through this package.
Let me ask about something I heard from a lot of the people who were proposing these things to the council. And one of the things they felt like they were getting feedback on was the net cost to the city that I think that was a question that was always asked, was how much is this going to cost our average yearly budget to maintain and take care of it? How big a priority is this?
Oh, I think that's huge, because you can look anywhere around the city. It's one of the biggest gripes we hear from citizens, but it's one of the biggest gripes we have as counselors. We do a pretty good job of building things, or, you know, making a road or putting in a park, but we've done a pretty poor job of taking care of those things, which is why our roads have been so bad and our parks are overgrown. And
your highways don't have lights over
exactly.
them.
Exactly. And part of that is because that's easy. It's easy to say, hey, let's build this cool building and let's all chip in. And nobody wants to chip in to fix the tile and clean the toilets. And, you know, so we really tried to ask of everybody who came to us, you know, how will this be supported on operating and maintenance, you know, on long term? And if that's not part of the plan, that isn't to say we won't do it. But then we want to make sure that we go back and say, okay, we think this is worthwhile, but we've got to look at what the long-term maintenance and operations is as well and make sure it's worthwhile when you figure that cost in.
So what's the timeline for getting down to a workable proposal, or at least and what sort of citizen input once you get to sort of a big list that's going to go down to a short list? Are you going to be hearing from citizens just getting input?
I'm sure we will on an ongoing basis. There are a series of town halls going on that have just started on public safety specifically, so we'll get some more feedback there. And then once we get an entire package together, including all three of those elements, and our deadline internally is around mid-December, we need to have that as done as we can. And then we will do another series of town halls where we'll take out those specifics and we'll be saying, okay, here's where we've come to on the river. Here's what we've got on public safety. Here's what we've got on the vision projects, and give folks another opportunity to give us some feedback.
Will there be, you know, will that be a done deal at that point, or will it be more of a, okay, we heard from citizens this, we need to reassess?
I think we want it to be as close to done, because you can't keep, you know, and no matter what you do, they're literally in the same room, two people sitting next to each other are going to yell at you because why didn't you do more river and why didn't you do more neighborhood parks or whatever. I mean, there's some real strong feelings in this city as to how this money should be invested. And we're trying to do something that we believe will do good things for the city, but also that we feel like represents what the citizens are telling us their priorities are.
So the public meetings are key then, if you really want to put feedback in.
And I hope that the process that we've had so far has given us some pretty good feedback. So if we get out there and we find this incredibly strong negative response, we've done something wrong. Because we should be getting pretty close to trying to balance these diverse interests. And like I said, I know I hear in my district, I mean, I hear people who tell me absolute opposite things, and they're both good citizens, good voters. And, you know, so you're trying to balance that. And neither of them are going to be completely happy with this package probably. But, you know, the goal is to find something that does the most good for the most people. My hope is that it's only tweaking after that point. But, you know, if we hear that we've really missed the target here, then we'll do what we have to do to get it closer.
All right. Well, we'll watch, see how this process unfolds. Good luck with it.
Thanks.
On America, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
City of Tulsa, District 7 Councilor Anna America speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa about the vision renewal proposals, which have come to an end. You can learn more about those proposals, as well as a series of public meetings on the Public Safety Initiative, as well as the latest on the river, at the council's website, tulsacouncil.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.